It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio. Thank you so much for being with me. It's withdrawal season across now much of America, as all waterfowl seasons have closed with the exception of the conservation season for snow geese. They closed yesterday, January 31st. So for people like me and those of you who've listened for a long time, it's time to go do something else, because we can't go back into the marsh. Well, you can go back into the marsh. You just can't go back into the marsh and hunt until next fall. Speaking of hunting, I'm going to start off this week's show talking about just, I don't really have another way to say it, other than how messed up we are in our wildlife management situation. So Oregon, which we think of as great western state, lots of wide open spaces, it actually is one of the strongest anti-hunting states in the country. And that's partially because of the urban population settled around Portland and Eugene and Salem, which in and of itself has different feelings about wildlife than the rest of the state and maybe perhaps the rest of the country. But they are working towards having on the ballot, it's called Oregon IP 28. And I don't usually like to give attention to these things, except this is real. And when anti-hunting groups and groups that simply never do anything for habitat but simply try to tie you up in court to stop management of habitat or management of hunting or habitat management through hunting, that's what's going on here, except they've gone to a new level. Oregon also apparently has a near majority on its wildlife commission of people who are avowed anti-hunters, animal rights activists. So the governor of Oregon, a state where hunting and fishing is very much in the mainstream, unless you live in Portland, Eugene, or Salem, has appointed to the commission a number of individuals who don't think you should hunt and fish at all. So the state of Oregon is trying to, believe it or not, stop hunting and fishing. It's called Oregon IP 28, and if they get more signatures, they're just about 10,000 shy on the ballot, on the petition, it will be on the ballot in November. They need 117,000 signatures, and they've gathered 92,000 so far. Here's what they want to do. Under this proposition to go on the ballot, to be voted on, hunting, fishing, and trapping would be banned and would become misdemeanors. Scientific or agricultural research would be banned and become misdemeanors. Animal handling and training techniques would be greatly modified and become misdemeanors if you did not follow them. So think of dog training. Everyone training their dogs. Electronic collars, not be permitted. I'm not sure what would be permitted, but we know electronic collars would not be. There would be no training of retrieving dogs and other kind of dogs, basically in Oregon, using any kind of the techniques which are used across America. Animal husbandry practices and livestock slaughter for food would be heavily regulated and would become misdemeanors if you don't abide by their rules. You could not control vermin or pests. You would not be allowed to use any kind of pest control. You also would not be able to euthanize a vest. And artificial insemination and breeding programs would be classified, and I'm not making this up. When you're listening now, you're not going to believe this. Artificial insemination and breeding programs would be classified as sexual assault. That is what 92,000 people in Oregon have already signed a petition to have happen. I can't believe they could get nine people to sign it. Imagine, 92,000 have already signed it. Their goal is 117,000. They're going to get there, and it's going to go on the ballot. And it will be defeated in November. But the very fact that it could go on the ballot shows how far we have gone from wildlife management and placing wildlife management in the hands of scientifically trained professionals, people who went to school, got degrees, have spent their life researching and working on these issues. Nope. We're going to turn it over to a bunch of people who've never been outdoors and think it's absolutely horrible that you fish, hunt, trap, train dogs, control pests, euthanize a pet, or believe in artificial insemination, because that, as I said a moment ago, would be sexual assault. So what does the polling say on this? This is even worse. 8 in 10 people in Oregon say no, they intend to vote against this. Well, that means that 20% of the people think this is a good idea. 9 in 10 support allowing licensed fishing and hunting on public lands. Why shouldn't 100% of the people support licensed hunting and fishing on public lands? Because the public lands are being paid for by people who hunt and fish. Pittman-Robertson funds, other excise taxes, Dingell-Johnson taxes, Wallop Brough, all of these fund the management of public lands. If you don't have any hunting and fishing on them, there's not going to be any management. Then the next one is only 3 in 10 agree with the assertion that wildlife management is best left to nature. 30% of the people polled in Oregon, and obviously polls can say whatever you want them to say, but 30% of the people polled in Oregon think that wildlife management is nature, that if you just leave nature alone, everything will be fine. 100% of wildlife managers know, and fisheries managers know, that is not the case. If you leave things to nature, you end up with overpopulation, you end up with all kinds of habitat degradation. Just look at what white-tailed deer have done to our forests, which I talked about last week, and the browse line and the lack of reforestation. Look what would happen if we left other species just at nature, because there is no such thing as nature. The hand of man has been going back thousands of years impacting nature, whether it be the buffalo jumps that the American Indians used, whether it be forest fires, which they used to stimulate tree growth and berries and control old growth. We have been managing man. Homo sapiens has been managing nature for a long time. There is no such thing as just the natural world. It doesn't exist. We have been in the middle of it for a long time. So the polling, according to the article and the group that I'm citing here, they say it's favorable that this will not be approved, that the public will not approve a ballot measure that I've described that ends hunting, fishing, and trapping and other forms of wildlife management. But it shouldn't even be a question of is it favorable. We have hired professionals in fish and wildlife agencies across America who know how to manage wildlife and fisheries. It's their job to manage them. I don't think it's our job to manage them. So that's what's going on in Oregon. And unfortunately, I call this ballot box biology, and you've heard me speak of it before. It happens again and again across the country as we've become so much more urbanized and individuals are just so removed from the outdoors and nature that they don't understand that you have to manage wildlife. And hunting and fishing and trapping are essential to do that. Plus, they're a big part of our heritage. So if you're not allowed to hunt, I guess you're not going to eat deer, elk, antelope, ducks, geese, whatever it might be. You're not going to eat any of those species. And if you're not allowed to fish, then why are we spending tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars trying to bring back salmon and other species? Because if people can't fish, how much will they really care about them? So there's no question in my mind, this is not going to pass. The real statement is, why do we even have to deal with this? This is not science. This is not management. This is nothing but a radical movement to take away our rights that we've had since the beginning of this country. I'll be back in a moment with just much more in the great outdoors, actually a lot more. And I'm going to talk about, when I come back, I'm going to talk about fat polar bears. Yes, fat polar bears. Thanks for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago in America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Hope you're enjoying the show. And I think we need to really focus, as I said at the beginning of this show, about wildlife management and who we're empowering to make the decisions. And we should not be empowering voters who have no background in wildlife management. And it's simply emotional that they don't think that people should fish, hunt, trap, apparently not even be able to artificially inseminate animals, which is a huge part of propagation efforts, as well as obviously in the livestock industry, because that's also bad. So I'm not going to revisit that, but I think across America, we continue to see these issues pop up where professionals have the ability to manage taken out of their hands by referendums, and referendums is a lousy way to manage fish and wildlife. Managing fishing wildlife. Here's a headline from the New York Times. I couldn't resist using it today. Some polar bears are getting fatter, even as sea ice shrinks. A while ago, I did a show talking about the misinformation spawned over 25 years ago regarding polar bears and how as the Arctic sea ice melted, polar bears were supposed to go extinct. And I commented on the National Geographic story that subsequently National Geographic, it took a few years, recanted as an entire hoax when the story was based upon a picture of a polar bear they said was starving. The photographers didn't know that. It was actually a sick bear, but they used it as a visual of what's going to happen to polar bears as the sea ice melts. And World Wildlife Fund, I think you all can remember the, and they're still there, the pictures of a polar bear standing on an ice cap on a little iceberg, and as far as you can see, there's nothing but open water, and it says, what's their future? Well, their future is they're actually doing pretty well. In fact, scientists now are finding that they are getting fatter. This does not fit the narrative that has been placed out there for 25 or 30 years or longer of polar bears are going to go extinct because of climate change. So the narrative that was used to raise hundreds of millions of dollars and to cry wolf has proven to be largely false. In fact, it has proven to be false. The polar bear was supposed to be extinct by now by most reports. And what do we find? There might be more polar bears in the world today than there were 30 years ago. But one thing we do know, thanks to the scientists that are discovering this, the population of polar bears in the Norway's archipelago up in the Arctic has actually increased over the past 27 years, quote unquote, despite predictions that melting sea ice would make it harder for them to find food. Researchers expressed their complete surprise that polar bears are doing so well. And they found that they have more body weight and they have more fat content, even though the rate of sea ice melting in the surrounding barrier sea has been somewhat extensive. And I quote, they found to their surprise that polar bears were actually gaining weight as the ice receded. One of the leading researchers, John Ayers, said, when I started, if you asked me what do you think will happen, I would assume that they would be struggling, that they would get skinnier and skinnier, and eventually there wouldn't be many left to reproduce and survive. End of quote. He's a senior scientist at Norway's Polar Institute. But he says, I was totally wrong. That was wrong. So I mention this because so many sky is falling. Predictions have been made regarding wildlife and fisheries populations that have not proven to be true, but probably none are more false than what's happened with the polar bears. There weren't supposed to be any left today. And conservation groups around the world raised the alarm and raised a lot of money. What they were going to do with that money, I don't know. I wasn't involved in it. They did. They raised a lot of money and a lot of alarm. And here we are over 25 years later, and every prediction they made on the health of the polar bears has proven to be wrong. The United States government bans bringing polar bears into this country, as I mentioned a couple months ago, from Canada, because we don't believe you should be allowed to hunt polar bears because of the declining populations. But their populations aren't declining. And why are we telling the Canadians how to manage their polar bears? They're the ones living in Canada and working with the bears. We're not. But the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. decided, oh, no, we shouldn't import polar bears because their population in Canada is crashing. Well, that was done a number of years ago, and just the opposite has happened. So apparently, as there has been less Arctic sea ice, it has become easier for polar bears to find seals and other food. And they talk about how polar bears are also now eating reindeer and walrus. So, and their populations have increased during this time as well. So in the Arctic, there are more reindeer, and there are more walrus, and there are more seals, and there are more polar bears. None of this was supposed to happen when we thought that climate change would be the death knell to all of them. Now, maybe this won't last forever. Maybe there's a point at which there's too much loss of ice, and in fact, the seals don't survive. But I don't know about that, because there's lots of places in the ocean, lots of rocks in Maine, and look off the west coast of California and up through Oregon and Washington and British Columbia and up to Alaska, where there's no ice, and there are tons of seals. So this notion that polar bears were going to get wiped out, thankfully, fortunately, has proven to be completely false. And the scientists end by saying, well, we don't know. There may come a time when I quote, there will be a line, and when it's crossed, we'll start seeing polar bears starting to lose their weight and getting more problems surviving and reproducing, Dr. Ayers said. We don't know when that's going to happen. It makes me think of a story I've also talked about, and that is snow geese, whose populations are totally out of control. There have never been more snow geese on the face of the earth than there are now and in recent years because of changed agricultural practices. And 35 and 40 years ago, all the waterfowl biologists predicted snow geese were, in fact, going to crash because they were eating out their breeding grounds. So the point of all this, I think, is when we read these stories and hear reports about catastrophic impending collapses, maybe we should step back and say, is that really going to happen? Why do we believe that? Fortunately, more often than not, they've been proven wrong, which is a great thing, because certainly it would be horrible if polar bears were, in fact, headed for extinction and snow geese, in fact, were headed towards population collapse. Those things haven't happened. I'm sure there'll be more predictions in the few coming years. And when they're made, maybe what I would simply say is follow the money. Who's trying to raise money off of this? Because someone is always trying to raise money off of these predictions and disasters to feather their own nest. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more in the great outdoors.